Hi, everyone.
Hello.
And welcome back to the one, the only Too Niche.
I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Lara. And today we needed to go into the world of fashion,
current events,
pop culture, Hollywood's biggest night. That's right, Niche does. We are hauling Oscar looks.
In particular, the Vanity Fair after party Oscar looks, because I feel like just Oscars in general, that's too run of the mill for our niches.
It is, and it's kind of boring.
So boring.
I mean, if the one thing the Oscars really achieved this year, it was deeply boring looks kind of across the board and ceremony.
Agree. I missed most of the ceremony. I was having some streaming issues up top, planned to watch it with some friends, got to the friend hang and was quickly more engrossed in conversation than I was with the ceremony itself.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. It was 4 hours long. I watched it with my mom. We watched literally like 2 hours of lead up conversations to the red carpets, and that burnt me out. So I didn't pay attention to much of the red carpet, but we watched that too. Then the Oscars, I was exhausted. I was also just so bored. And I got to a point where I was like, can we just like watch The Whale instead? Because I would rather suffer through watching that movie than watch any more of the Oscars. But I was told, no, we have to see this thing through. So I'm a survivor, is what I have to say.
I'm so happy you survived. One thing I loved about the pre-red carpet interviews, though, is when Laverne Cox, instead of saying, who are you wearing? Like the tried and true, I guess now outdated thing to ask somebody.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, what story are you telling with your outfit today?
I clocked that as well. And I have to say, can we just get back to asking who are you wearing? Like, that's what everyone wants to know. That's the whole point of this event. I would say like 50 to 65% of this event is an event for fashion designers. So if I were a designer, I'd be pissed that no one is asking this woman or man or non-binary person who they're wearing, because I need that marketing. I need that word of mouth.
I mean, this is the true Super Bowl for multiple industries. I mean, you've got hair, makeup, styling, the designers, the PR. Then you've got the whole staffing of these events from planners, bartenders, rentals, valet. I mean, there's a full-blown economic system within this weekend, this night, that fascinates me. And I think to this particular event that we're covering today, which is the Vanity Fair party, which takes place in Beverly Hills, they actually create a structure next to the Wallace Annenberg. And I have a stat for all of us here. The blue carpet, the sapphire blue carpet, is 125 feet. I just thought that was an interesting tidbit.
I like that.
I think the reason why the fashion, it's just a little bit more fun. It's a little bit less stuffy. There's a little bit more room to play around. It's very much focused on having your moment on this red carpet before you walk into this event. And there's something interesting in how the list for this works, is they have like basically an A and a B tier and maybe a C tier too of invitees, where you get your A people. And once they've heard whether those A's are attending or not, then you get a B level invite. And those B level people don't get a plus.
Wow.
So you're showing up solo, dressed to the nines, really for this red carpet moment.
Damn, that's so harsh, but I also kind of love that. Do you think it still works that way? Because was it working that way when Graydon Carter was the head of Vanity Fair?
It still works that way.
Nice. Okay. Can you have like a press person or like your PR person just come to the red carpet to like fluff you and like get you going? Or do you really just have to get all your confidence up and just be like, I'm fully rolling solo into this event?
I hope you can at least have somebody like judge you before you step foot onto that sapphire carpet. Can't be left to your own devices.
No, like you're going to get out of a car and just like walk to that. Have you ever done any sort of, have you done a red carpet in your lifetime?
I am a forever plus one.
Mm-hmm.
So I hold purses, I hold jackets, I tell friends where to look off to the side. So I've attended many a red carpet event, but never had to, that's a lie. I've had a few moments, but really it's like forever a plus one. I crush. I'm so good as a plus one.
Nice.
How about you?
I've had a couple plus one moments, like purse holding or like coat holding, but I have done like a red carpet. I was going to my friend's film premiere and she had asked like, do you want to do the red carpet? And I was like, sure. I mean, like, if you're going to ask me, I'm going to say yes. But then I quickly realized I was in over my head. It's terrifying. I just needed way more. I needed to practice. I needed to like understand what a red carpet moment was. And I think I was just like really terrified and kind of was like deer in the headlights smile a bit and then got the fuck off of that carpet.
It's
but
terrifying.
That was a good learning experience. It's really terrifying. And it happens so fast. And you're supposed to like, something that I don't think even Top Model made this clear to me, and I have a real chip on my shoulder about, is like whenever someone's taking a photo of you, you really do yourself a lot of favors if you keep your body like moving and you're just like moving and letting them capture like the best moments. But I just always thought you just stand and then like a beautiful moment happens magically. And that's just simply not true.
No, you have to be in motion. As you said, there's a whole breathing technique because it really, the best pictures are taking when you're mid-inhale.
Mid-inhale?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, this is a hot tip. What other hot tips do you have?
Another one is saying hey, because it relaxes the face in a specific way. So you can be like,
hey. Hey, okay.
Mm-hmm. Like that.
What about prune? Remember prune?
That was one. I think that's more aughts for us, like prune. But
yeah,
for me that one doesn't work. I look insane when I'm not smiling and trying to look serious. So I always go for the hey. Another thing I noticed was, and like we've known this for a while, but the hand on the hip pose is very passé now. No, we are not trying to have. Mm-hmm. Chicken Paris Hilton arms anymore.
No.
It's Mm-mm. Now two hands forward on the front of the thigh. And you'll notice that a lot of the attendees were exemplifying this pose, both at the Oscars red carpet and at Vanity Fair.
They are. Yeah. It's incredibly difficult in the moment to figure out what you're going to do with your arms and hands. And when you're in a red carpet scenario, you're like, why was I even born with these appendages? Like, they're serving no purpose here. But yeah, I like a front of, okay,
yeah,
this hey
like,
thing has changed everything in the inhale, has changed everything for me.
It's like, look at my mani, but also have my arms not be resting against the rest of my body. Like, there's a lot you need to think about.
Yeah. One thing too, I default to like a hugged arm into the body, which will just make your arm then appear two times larger than it already is. And I've suffered those consequences before. Like, it's been a rocky road. So I applaud anyone that like does a step and repeat, because it ain't easy.
Hats off to anybody who just doesn't look like they're mid sneeze on the red carpet, because I know that would be me.
To be able to go up there and vamp, like, I just want to go over a few of my like favorite Academy Awards looks just to get them out of the way.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman going up and just like vamping in a full wig and like including her husband in the mix. She's like eye fucking all the camera people, looking absolutely flawless. I was like, you're an A+ red carpet freak.
Couldn't agree more. I felt like my favorite freak of the night at the ceremony itself was Gaga.
Oh, totally.
Like that Versace number and the angles that she was serving whilst wearing it was something from the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why she's Gaga.
Yeah. I also loved Emily Blunt's look, like a very simple column dress with those like cut off sleevelet things.
I loved that one. I sent a screenshot of that one to a friend, and because I'm coming from a place of trying to find some sort of wedding dress at the moment, and I felt like that was a very strong inspo.
Yeah, totally. And you know who else I really loved was Mindy Kaling's Vera Wang with like the cutouts and the corset and all of that. I wish that she had stayed in white the entire night, because she changed into a black version of it to present. I thought it was really something.
She looked stunning. She's having her moment.
She's having, like, she's full-fledged Kardashian now, which I'm not mad at.
No.
You've got the Kardashian money to, like, fully morph into a Facetune. By all means, I would be doing the same.
I celebrate it. Unpopular opinion.
And then men, I loved Paul Mescal's Gucci look. Like a wide pant, kind of like a leisure jacket. It was really formal, but it was also cool and had personality. And that's like the kind of thing that you would look back on and be like, oh, I wore, that's like a moment that would stand the test of time.
I thought he looked great, but I also feel like if you're a young man wearing Gucci on a red carpet, you're just gonna look great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of like a formula. Youth and Gucci
go together. They absolutely do. I thought The Rock looked great.
Oh my gosh, I loved The Rock with his custom Dolce Ballerina pink satin jacket. I thought Allison Williams probably had my favorite dress next to Gaga.
Allison Williams?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I liked her. She came to play too. And I like it when someone shows up that's a little bit unexpected, but had like it made a lot of sense that she was there, being like, yeah, you thought I was over after Girls and Get Out, but guess what? Megan is the biggest fucking box office smash, and I'm going to make 10 more of those movies. Look at my beautiful dress. Like, I like exactly. That attitude.
It was saying so much without saying anything at all.
Mm-hmm. I really loved also Thames. She wore like a big cloud-like gown with like a headpiece that went around.
Oh, I loved that. A lot of people were commenting on the internet about how her dress was obstructing people's views. And she sort of was just like, oops.
She
don't
had
care.
The best like facial expressions. Her facial expression throughout the whole night was like, and like she was completely unimpressed by anything that was happening, blocking at least like 6 people behind her. And I was like, this is a huge power move. And like, I now look to you to like tell me and gauge my own attitude.
As a 5-foot tall individual who's lives their life with an obstruction of view, especially in any type of theater stage situation,
mm-hmm.
I strive to be a person who obstructs views for other people.
I think you can get there. I think it's all about hats and voluminous.
A sleeve.
Voluminous yeah. hair. Yeah. Oh, a puffy sleeve could really do yeah. the trick as well. Oh, I loved Hong Chau's Prada dress.
Oh, yeah.
Like a pink Prada gown with a sequin train. There were a lot of like randos, I feel like, that I was like, why are you here? Why is this happening now?
Agree.
Oh, and Harry Shrum Jr., his tux was everything to me. I've been thinking about it nonstop ever since.
One thing that I just really liked overall that you clocked with Nicole Kidman's wig, but Ana de Armas also did, was like the relaxed hair is finally having its moment.
Yeah.
I think if you're doing a gown, relaxed hair is always a sure bet. And it was nice to see this play out.
Yeah, it's a nice juxtaposition. Every time the Oscars come around, I'm just always sad that Joan and Melissa aren't in the mix anymore.
It's a travesty. And Joan, I'll say, was always just having so much fun. And there was so much levity to her commentary that, I mean, I understand we've evolved. And I think that that's great to move with the times, but that levity doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Case in point, what story are you telling with your outfit?
Yeah, I don't want to know any, like, I don't mind, like, once or twice you ask what story, if the outfit's really telling a story. But if, like, some guy is just wearing, like, a Saint Laurent suit, Austin Butler, like, you just be like, who are you wearing? It's not, it's like, it would be one thing if you're at a house party and you're asking every woman, who are you wearing as they walk in the door? But you're at the Oscars. Like, that's part of the whole deal.
What are your thoughts on Florence Pugh's hair? Can we talk about that for 2 minutes?
I have kind of adopted a live and let live attitude with Miss Pugh's looks and hair and accessory choices. I kind of don't have an opinion about them because I think that she can kind of just do whatever she wants and she's like being experimental. So I'm just like, I support you. Maybe one day this will evolve into something that I can relate to.
That's a really nice way of approaching it. I'm going to go.
I'm saying I don't like her mini bangs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a nose
ring. I mean,
ring.
It's not Absolutely. Even the mini bangs. It's the ponytail forward to form a bang that I find to be a bold ass move. And I wouldn't say I love it, but I think it needs, like, I think I see what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're draped in Valentino, she's trying to like punk it up a little. And God bless. But I just, no.
I respect that. I like a ponytail into a bang transformation more than I just like a tiny bang existing and like knowing that someone made the choice to like alter their hair in that way. So I can get down with the pony bang, but I'm like, can we take this nose ring out already? Like, please, we get it. It's really giving me like Katie Maloney season 5 of Vanderpump Rules and not in a good way.
But if you're going to pull a reference, a VPR reference is always good to take with you onto the red carpet.
Yeah. Okay, should we get into hauling the VF party looks?
We really should.
Okay. Let's begin with Julia Garner.
My thought on this particular look is that I couldn't feel more of nothing by this look. She's wearing off-white. It's like a structured circular halter neckline, black. She looks great, but I am void of feelings for this look. It's neutral. It does nothing to me.
Yeah, I like that it's sheer and I like a weird shape to it. It's like a moment, but I don't know if it's like intentionally sheer or if it's accidentally sheer.
Really, the only thing I care about with her is I want to know what the Madonna biopic audition process was like.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel now that that's not happening? That's all I care about.
Yeah. Devastated that no one's asking her those important questions on this red carpet. I also, have a feeling that she might have had buccal fat removal just based on like recent photos that I've seen. And if so, I mourn the loss of her buccal fat. Another one, another two buccal fat pads bite the dust.
I agree.
But yeah, I give this look like a C plus. Actually, I give it a B minus.
I just don't give it anything. I truly feel nothing when I look at it.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I don't hate it. I don't have anything in between about it. I think it's fine. A dress that I did love, if we could talk about Hunter Schafer.
Ooh, yeah.
In the, hopefully I'm going to not butcher this name, Ludwig de Saint-Cernin for Anne de Mulemeester. Yep, thank you.
Yeah, I loved this.
I saw this look on the runway. Actually, a lot of looks from this particular show made it to the Oscar parties. And this one looked so sick on the runway, so special. I think IRL at this party, I was in love with it.
Yeah.
It made me feel things.
I'm also loving that it was like we got a body moment from someone that wasn't Emrata, because I feel like she's always coming to these like Vanity Fair things giving me my body, and I'm just over it. I need someone else to step in and carry the my body torch, and Hunter did that, so I was grateful.
And there was a lot of my body moments on the red carpet. A lot of sheer, a lot of chainmail.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra, she was a really good example of this chain link, visible underwear moment. Here's a link of all the sheer girlies that Page Six did a delightful roundup of.
Wow, Sierra wasn't in this first Vanity Fair link.
So Sierra's wearing
Dundas, yeah.
She looks amazing. So does Alessandra Ambrosio. Daisy Edgar Jones did a Gucci version, which I really am not a fan of the nude bodysuit underneath that Gucci look. I think you need a color, a black, a two-piece, a something like that. I think ruined it. There's like, she's literally wearing like a Skims bodysuit underneath that.
I'm not a fan. I also don't like seeing someone's like crotch outline underneath a sheer thing.
No.
And I think you get that when she like puts her lip, like, I don't know. I think she also could have done a full cat suit with like long sleeves and long ankles that was sheer or something like that. Like a black sheer. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people are playing with the sheer trend. I love it. I think great. But I think the undergarment is a crucial component. And it just doesn't seem like it's getting enough thought put into it.
Oof.
For me and my liking and my sensibility of a sheer chainmail look.
These are really getting messy by the end. Oof.
Becky God. G?
Becky G is like a true how for me, but you know what? There are some facets of Gen Z culture I may never understand. There is Emrata doing my body, kind of like a baseball stitching on either side of this dress.
It wasn't my favorite.
No, I don't love it. It also, yeah, I don't love it. I like Alessandra Ambrosio's better than that, than the Emrata one. They feel like kind of two sides of the same coin, but Alessandra is heads where Emrata is tails for me. And I like a matching underwear sheer underneath the like sheer thing. Ashley Graham, I love her, but this looks like a bathing suit cover up. Her Vanity Fair look is like a red Dolce & Gabbana see-through robe over like a black bikini two-piece. But I'm like, this is like a pool party.
I don't like it at all. I also just,
yeah,
personally, I don't like red dresses. It's just a thing.
You have a chip on your shoulder about red?
Yep.
What about though Gigi Hadid's look on the Vanity Fair red carpet was
she
an
looked
A plus
smashing.
For me.
Yep. Stunning. I was just about to say, like, and I also thought Cardi B in red, she looked great too.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my two red exceptions, but just generally, I just think it tends to go Jessica Rabbit too quick.
Yeah, I agree. But Gigi's kind of did go Jessica Rabbit, but kind of with a camp sensibility that, and I think Cardi just has that attitude already, so it works. I'm sad about these sheer looks. I can't.
Yeah, no,
I gotta get out of this.
It's
gotta
a
get
miss,
out of the sheer zone.
And I think that it's a trend that we're gonna see more of. People are just gonna be getting more and more naked on the red carpet. And I mean, I guess that's been happening since the beginning of time as a attention get. However, I think that do it, but just can't say it enough, can't stress this enough. Be mindful of what you're putting on underneath and make sure it elevates the vibe. Okay, my favorite, Donald Glover in McQueen.
Yeah.
This one-piece look that I think we're going to end up seeing on Revolve like next week. Is so good.
It's really good. So good. I love a high-waisted, wide-leg pant with like a kind of cropped jacket, and the shirtless underneath that is really sexy. And it's a conversation starter, and it's like, oh, this person's personality comes through in this. And it's like, oh, you like, it feels elevated, but also approachable, where you'd be like, I want to talk to this person. They seem fucking cool.
He has such good style. It's just, I don't think it's easy for him to miss, because it's about like a stylish attitude first, and then whatever you put on adopts that.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Hudson in her Tamra Rolf pink gown, plunging neckline, major shoulder. This was better to me than what she wore to the ceremony. And I think she's probably one of the best dressed in attendance.
I'm a little bit over her showing up to these events in like extra looks, because I'm like, literally, can you do a rom-com or just do some sort of acting thing? Again, like, give us something instead of just being on a red carpet. But I agree, I wish she had worn the pink look to the Oscars. Yeah, but I'm interested in that pink, but I have to get over my just general.
I've had a Kate encounter and it wasn't my favorite. I sat next to her at a dinner, not very friendly, but I will say her mother was also there, and Goldie was exactly as you would have imagined. So nice. A delight. Like, her persona was exactly the same as how she was in person, which that would have been disappointing. Like, Kate not being friendly, I can handle that. That's fine. Also, you could be having like an off day or whatever. I usually don't try to judge, but had Goldie been not delightful, that would have been hard on my soul. But she was great. So,
yeah. Goldie's the one it's really all about at the end of the day. And as long
Absolutely.
As you're in with Goldie, you're in with life. I need someone to write, and maybe this is me who needs to do this, but like, I need a Kate Hudson McConaughey rom-com follow-up that is actually really funny and good, and not like Fool's Gold or something that's like bad. Like, I need it to be really good. I think the world needs that.
I would love for you to write that.
I'd love it.
I watched Shotgun Wedding with J-Lo and Josh Duhamel on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, guys.
Not the one.
Why? Who? Where? Who said yes?
Everything is bad.
Everything
that was like
is bad.
The Lost City, the Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum vehicle. I love everyone involved in that, but that was one ginormous piece of shit movie. We can all be honest about that. It made its money. It did what it needed to do. But like that movie was so bad. And I'm like, it's not that hard to just like write funny jokes and like play off of these people's natural chemistry. You're doing too much.
I feel like it's harder to make a bad movie, yet that seems to be what is prevailing nowadays, which is one of the reasons why I don't watch that many movies. But the other reason is I read an article during COVID about there's like this psychological phenomena that a lot of people experienced during the pandemic where seeing a TV show or a movie that they didn't know the outcome of felt really unsafe. So people tend to just watch reruns or rewatch movies that they know like the whole plot because it just makes them feel more comfortable. I have that.
Do you have it in a sense that if you were to watch a rom-com that you didn't know the outcome, you would feel unsafe about that?
I mean, at this point, after seeing Shotgun Wedding, yeah.
Yeah.
Because actually, everyone in that movie was in a different film. Some were in a comedy. Some were doing like more of an acting piece. It was just too many different styles at once, and it made me feel unsafe.
Yeah, I would say Lost City made me feel really unsafe and broke a lot of trust that I had in just like comedies and rom-coms specifically. So I haven't super gone back. Weirdly, my go-to, or not so weirdly, but like my go-to entertainment choices right now are anything like Bravo related, or I've just been like, I like will go like pure horror movie. And that for some reason makes me feel almost comforting to be scared or just like see kind of a different, I don't know, I feel like there's like more artistic things happening in that genre, in both those genres specifically, than there are in like kind of tired genres such as the rom-com or even the comedy.
I mean, I'm always into a Bravo binge. That's my forever safe place. I had to recently get myself out of a place of Bravo binge because I was spiraling and I was like, I need to just take a step back from re-binging Vanderpump Rules. It is affecting my mental health. And we were supposed to do the reading deprivation for week four of Artist Way. And I always say, like, when it comes to the reading deprivation part, like, obviously, when the book was written in 1994, there was like only a few channels of distraction. But now it's obviously like such a vast space of opportunities for us to distract ourselves. So I always just offer like pick one, like social media is a great one, or, you know, like scrolling on your phone, or, you know, reading articles on your iPad, or like whatever that looks like to you. And mine this time was I had to take a break from watching Vanderpump Rules.
That's good. Julia Cameron would be proud. Yeah, I love that. So. I was like, I think I kind of lessened my Daily Mail celebrity vertical reading, but that's been kind of something I'm phasing out anyways in favor of just the news. And I'm making, like, I'm trying to retrain my brain to make like the news as exciting to me as like pop culture and like celebrity news.
Well, the banks are crumbling, so it is high drama.
It's there's always some really good drama, and now it's like celebrities used to be that for us, but now no one has the access anymore because it's like the Daily Mail oftentimes will just repost, do a whole story about what someone posted on their Instagram, which is like, that's not journalism. Like, we saw this, like, what? And so now the real divas are like big tech, military industrial complex, and corporate entities. So
that's right.
Those are
that's
my new Kardashians.
The high drama. Yeah. I love that. Who's your new Chris?
I would say Chris right now is like the gas and oil industry at large, because it is kind of mother to all of us and we're beholden to their every move.
Mm-hmm. I would have loved to see a KJ at the Vanity Fair party.
I know. It feels like, where was she?
We
it
got
doesn't feel
Kendall.
Right if she's not there.
I agree. Like, is it really an event? We got Kendall. We got Kylie. I thought that Kendall's Jean Paul Gaultier dress wasn't doing much for me on the red carpet, but then I saw a video of it in action and it was really stunning.
Yeah.
But Kylie's Margiela look, I don't like the like hair up, that like old Hollywood is not what I want from that team.
I don't love like a big bow really ever. I'm not really a big fan of bows, like as like accoutrement to the look itself. So this doesn't speak to me. And I feel like I've seen this before. Like what is new that's happening here?
Yeah, I just didn't love it. And I think I expect more just because when you have like a 24/7 team with you and all the access in the world, I want to be impressed.
Yeah, Kylie's been like kind of uninspired to me lately. Like it's like it's just always like a Fashion Nova, or now it's kind of moving into like more model influencer on Insta vibes. I feel like she's exhausted most of the vintage that is out there to like repurpose. And I would imagine even she gets bored after a while, because if you do have all that access, it's like, doesn't everything kind of become like a flat line eventually?
Probably.
Kendall's style I also really like. I like that she's usually really simple and clean and like put together, and then can like turn it out in a look like this. And then to watch her move on the red carpet and like kind of snake her body around, that was a good tutorial in like red carpet posing.
Always be moving.
Mm-hmm.
And did you notice she was doing a lot of inhales?
She did.
Tiny inhales, because she wasn't expanding her rib cage. And that's why people on the internet were like, see, she's having a panic attack. It's like, nope, she just knows what she's doing in front of a camera.
Yeah, I also saw those videos where people were like, is she well? And I was like, yes, she's modeling. Yeah. That's what you
she's
do
serving.
When you're a model. Yeah.
People don't
Sit
get it.
Down haters. Yeah. No, I give Kendall's look an A.
I give Kendall's an A as well. Kylie's, again, I feel nothing. Can we also talk about Justin Bieber bypassing the red carpet and showing up in a knit blanket around his shoulders? Sir, are you okay?
You're not okay. If you've gone blanky mode, your things are bad. Also, I'm shocked that they let him into the party with a blanket.
I think Haley was like, he's with me. Guys,
there are no rules anymore. Yeah.
He's precursor to next week's episode, he went baby mode.
He did go full baby mode. And there's a time and a
he's
place for
soft
baby
boy.
Mode. Yeah. And I would argue that the time and the place is not the Vanity Fair.
No, I think that's just a certain level of, like, if you're not feeling it tonight, stay home.
Yeah, you can miss out. It's fine. Also, you've seen it before. You're not going to, like, nothing is going to happen that will change your life at this party, Justin Bieber. Can we talk about Tessa Thompson's look? Because she always is doing something really unexpected, but I'm always intrigued by it and I want more.
She had this, like, exposed red top. Basically,
like a rosette, like
rosette
a satin bra, rosette. Yeah.
With a almost like a tuxedo dress halfway down. Is it Gaultier?
I don't know. I'm looking. Wow. The first thing that came up, Tessa Thompson says she's never had a hamburger in my life. I love that. I love when a celebrity reveals something very weird. Moschino. Yeah, that's what I had thought. And I like it. Moschino also did Angela Bassett's purple dress, which I thought was stunning.
Fab. Yeah, I loved that. I'm a Tessa Thompson fan. I like this Moschino look. Again, it's red, so, or there's red elements, so it's not my favorite. But actually seeing it in motion, it looks very cool. So I will give it, I'll put it in my A category.
She's always just, she is a person who you could always ask and it wouldn't feel you're really trying to be PC. You could be like, what story are you trying to tell with this look? Because she is always telling a story with almost every red carpet look that she does. So I like that it's bold, it's out there, it's kind of weird, but it looks great. And I want to know more about the story.
What did you think about Billie Eilish's custom Rick Owens story?
Ooh, let me see. Wow, gothic glamour. Whoa. Okay. You know, she also is a young person that is just on her own sartorial journey. So this dress gives me anxiety thinking about having to move through a crowded room in it is like, that's a lot. But like, good on her.
Yeah.
It's a bit Florence Pugh. Because she has like a boy short or like a short dress.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of fabric. She's having fun. And I think, if again, youth and Rick Owens go really well together. Do you have a favorite Oscar look that stands out to you?
Yes. I loved Cate Blanchett's, I believe it was Jean-Paul Gaultier, like a black dress with a gold like body chain and necklace type of thing down the back, and then she wore these bangles. I thought that that was like an incredible look. Obviously I love Gwyneth's pink Ralph Lauren dress when she won Best Actress, and then when she did a goth Alexander McQueen look, I was obsessed with that as a youth and today. And then there was also one Cameron Diaz look that I was reminded of recently, where she wore this like Ungaro silk kind of wraparound dress with like a belt and like a necklace that she kind of repurposed into a belt. And I thought that that was like stunning, and everyone shit on her and was like, this outfit's so ugly. But I always was like, this was like the most beautiful. I loved that outfit.
I think that for me, the look, the Oscar look that will reign supreme always is Sharon Stone's 1996 Gap mock turtleneck and Armani blazer look that, I mean, iconic. And I recently learned that that was actually a thrown together last minute look because she had two dresses in the running for that year, and one of them in the delivery process got run over by a car. Literally, her stylist was like, go upstairs and grab your favorite, like your favorite pieces. And then they grabbed the gardenia that she adorned the blazer with from her garden. Like, I just love the moxie of throwing something together last minute. And also, what a brilliant Gap. I mean, this was 1996. Gap was in its peak.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the, I just thought, like, what a moment. Like, it was just such a flex.
Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, she did the Gap white button down with a Vera Wang skirt. And that was always one of my favorites.
With that purple satin. Yeah. She was trying to sort of like recapture the moment. Hopefully Gap paid her this time, but I just love it so much. Forever my fave. Yeah.
There's this Instagram I follow called Getty Images Fan Club, and it's like a lot of red carpet photos from like early aughts, late 90s, even like in the 80s. And just like the casual glamour that was happening then is so refreshing to see. And I guess like, I would love that to come back where people are like, yeah, I put this together. Like, it's not necessarily off the runway, but it's just like, wow, they look really fucking cool and like comfortable and just like, yeah, like cool, accessible, glamorous comfort is.
It's just such a different game now, as we talked about earlier, with just like how many people are involved in each look and how crucial it is to a fashion house to get these looks on these red carpets. It's just such a big deal to them that it's like all hands on deck at all times. So it's not, you're not really having like that casual, just threw it together red carpet thing anymore. It's like, we're pulling this and you have to try it. And if you're not going to wear it, we need that back immediately. I mean, there is, it is like a life or death energy for something that is seemingly so unimportant.
Yeah. And I'm kind of over that to some extent. I guess I'd be more into it if the fashions were more fun or out there or giving me something. But at this point, I feel like I've seen it all and nothing is exciting anymore. Nothing really gives me pleasure. So I'm like, then what is this? Who and what is this for? And I can't imagine like a lot if like we're not feeling it as like coastal elite, like people who are industry adjacent, like the people that should care. I can't imagine that it's speaking to like people in middle America or states or communities that like truly don't give a shit about this kind of stuff.
No, I think Instagram obviously has really changed it and it's made it sort of like a real time, like interactive experience. And that kind of changes the way we receive it. And I think if you're really into it, then amazing. And if you're not, you can avoid it entirely. I just think it feels incredibly unrelatable. It feels a little bit wasteful. It feels very haves and the have-nots. And I think that as a society, we're a little sick of that energy as a whole. That being said, if I'm going to name a few more of my faves, Naomi Campbell in her Schiaparelli column gown looked insane. I mean, granted, it's Naomi Campbell, but I just thought that that dress was really special. I thought Austin Butler in his Melanie Griffith working girl off-duty look, which was Saint Laurent. He looked fun, but I just was like, a pussy bow on a man is always, I'm going to take notice and I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, cool. I love this Naomi Campbell look.
Isn't it so good?
Like a scalloped kind of sequin, but like.
And I, yeah, so good.
Hard
and
then edges. Yeah.
Kaia Gerber in her Celine, again, youth in Celine. It's just not gonna falter.
Yeah. Like if my thing is like if a model looks bad in an outfit, then the outfit is bad.
Right. Ashley Graham, we're looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then my least favorite, my number one least favorite, and I couldn't find the designer she was wearing, but was Vanessa Hudgens. And it really wasn't the dress per se, it was the styling. I thought the nails were doing too much. I thought if she just did like a black nail, that would have just streamlined the look. And also those greasy pieces in the front. No, that hair was not.
It's always.
It's not. I'm constantly trying to fight a front greasy piece. So I cannot relate to somebody doing it intentionally.
Vanessa Hudgens to me always feels like I want to tell her to take one thing off. Like, people were really flipping out over her Oscars, like her Chanel gown that she wore to the Oscars, which I was like, that's fine. Like, I'm not blown away, but I've kind of never been blown away by her sartorial choices.
Agree.
Like, she's not like a fashion plate to me.
No. She's like constantly looking like no matter what, she's like headed to Coachella.
Yeah, it's always a little bit Coachella.
Like Feather Witch like, vibes.
Mm-hmm. I can't do it. I love Suki Waterhouse's VF look was really good.
Oh, yeah. But she can't.
That's also a model.
She's so not going like, to look bad.
Mm-hmm.
We were seeing a lot of like pinned on roses. We saw it with Nicole Kidman. We saw it with Halle Berry. Suki did it. It's a nod to Carrie Bradshaw.
It is very Carrie Bradshaw. If it's like part of the outfit already, I'm not as mad at it as if it's just like an actual Carrie Bradshaw pinned on flower. But even as I say that, I'm like, would I really be that mad at that? I don't know.
It's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just calling it like I'm seeing it as I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
For the sake of the haul. What did you think of Hailey Bieber's asymmetrical Saint Laurent dress with a one floor skimming sleeve?
I liked it. I think she always looks good. Like, I rarely see her. I don't think I ever see her make like a fashion faux pas or a misstep. But it's also like, I can't tell if she's just like, everything is picked out already by a stylist like 24/7, or if it's like her style. It's fine. It's kind of boring. I'm also like, interesting that you're here. You know what I mean? Like, what Kendall, I see like why she's there. She's in like, you know, she's in various campaigns. Things are happening. Hailey Bieber has just only had like scandal for the past month. So even she looks like upset to be there.
Right. But she's on the top tier invite, no matter what.
Yeah, I guess.
And
so,
she gets a plus invite. So.
And her plus can just sneak in with a blanket. So I guess it's good.
That's it.
I also thought Behati Prinsloo looked incredible. Wife of Adam Levine.
Oh, yeah.
Victoria's Secret.
Yeah, but they were doing too much for us on that carpet. He was giving I love my wife a little too hard. Sorry to say. But I get it.
He's trying to right the wrongs of
through imagery.
His past scandal. Mm-hmm. But she looked very powerful.
Oh, yeah. No, she looked amazing. I loved Olivia Wilde's Gabriella Hearst dress. If I could pull something like that off, I would try.
Yeah, that's a real body story. And I do love Gabriella Hearst just as a designer. And like, yeah, I thought she looked incredible.
Yeah, loved. That was an A for moi.
Did Gaga show to the Vanity Fair party?
No, we only saw her at the ceremony itself.
I'm sad about that.
Me too.
You know who I have to say that I was underwhelmed and disappointed in? And I think that maybe she went the Kate Blanchett route of like, it's not about me this year. Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah, I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay, I get that it's like, it's not your year, but I also just need more from you.
But she has a show that she's promoting.
I know. So I understand why she's there, but I'm like, you're going to need to like, give me more than just like black dresses.
When you're Sister Olsen and you're that adjacent to the row, if you're not wearing just full custom row, I have so many questions.
Yeah, I'm like, what? If my sisters were the founders of the row, my life would be infinitely better than it is right now.
I can't even wrap my head around it.
No.
What did you think of Louis Vuitton on both the Haim sisters and Ana de Armas?
Ana de Armas, it's hard to say. It's like she's the most beautiful woman ever. So I think everything looks good on her. It's hard to like divorce the look from just her being beautiful. Those two dresses, I liked her Oscars dress fine. But neither that nor the Vanity Fair party dress were my favorite. Like, I would give them like a B minus, like C.
There's just something with those prints that Louis Vuitton is doing right now that I'm not responding to. It's another neutral. I'm feeling nothing.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think who did look incredible and was wearing Louis Vuitton was Jennifer Connelly. And both her, she did what I want Elizabeth Olsen to do, which is like she wore a black dress, but then had that really structural, bedazzled, weird breastplate neckline thing that I'm like, okay, this is a moment. Like, this is telling me a story. It's not about you, but you're giving us a good thing. And she brought that same energy to the after party. And I was like, okay, I love this. It's not taking away, not stealing anyone's thunder, but it's still contributing to the conversation. So that's how I would say to do it. Like, Ana de Armas, it was kind of weird. Like, it's fine. And then the Haim sisters, I feel like it would get so old to have to wear the same designer every time you go out somewhere in public. Like, they always look good, but I'm like, I'm ready for them to just be doing their own. Like, I don't need them to like all three pose together anymore.
That's so funny. I agree. As an only child, I can't wrap my head around the three-way styling. That would just, I can't even compute something like that.
Yeah. And I've seen it, like, they always look good. Their stylist is like amazing, but I'm just like, okay, we can, like, they're allowed to now just have their separate journeys. Like, they do have separate lives from each other. I just, mm-hmm. I'm like, hats off to them, because as an oldest sibling of four and a stepbrother, I would be like, we'd be having like Kendall and Kylie fights in the car on the way to the event if we all had to spend years of our lives dressing the same.
That's so funny. I mean, I feel like we hauled.
We really hauled.
Any final thoughts on our hot on the scene Vanity Fair after party looks haul live from Hollywood and Oklahoma?
I want the looks to keep coming. I want more daring experiments. I pray to see more sheer being done with like the correct sheer undergarments, because I'm looking at some sheer pieces right now on Zara that I might have to get in the rotation, but I also need guidance on how to do those without getting like a crotch shot or something. So I'm excited that I always love, like, I think it's an empowering thing for women to be hot on a red carpet and wear hot clothes. And I think that women like to dress up for the most part, and like to get to wear a designer is a fun thing. So I want to know who everyone's wearing at all times. I think we should normalize asking everyone what they're wearing, who they're wearing, whenever.
Yes, the industrial complex around the award shows, I think we need more of it.
We need more of it. Like, next time you go to like your coffee shop or like Starbucks, ask your barista, like, who are you wearing? Let's like
work
that into the conversation.
What story are you telling with your look?
Yeah, like, what story is going on right now? Like, who am I wearing? I'm wearing vintage Grateful Dead t-shirt and a Goldie jeans. Elizabeth, who are you wearing?
I'm wearing a Joa Brown sweatsuit that is three times too big for me and that I borrowed from a friend. It's perfect for this particular rainy day.
Yes, I was really excited because I knew you'd wanted a Joa Brown like sweatshirt in particular. And I got unreasonably excited at the thought of you having hauled that for yourself.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the high neck cut on their crew neck sweatshirts. Mm-hmm. I don't appreciate the price point, but I think I'm in the Lara school of thought with this, that it makes me want it more because it's a higher price point, but I could do without the label on the front.
Yeah.
Like, I might, I would take a seam ripper to that personally, but for now, I'm just going with it.
Maybe we all need to get into sweat sharing, like for any sort of sweatpants, sweatshirts. Aren't those the best ones too? Like, when it's someone else's very well worn in sweatshirt or sweatpants is like when you cherish it actually more. So maybe we should be lending all of those to each other.
It makes it cozier. It makes it, you know, you have like a a sense of urgency with it because it's you have it for a limited time, so you just want to maximize the wear.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah, I like you're the muse to this idea, so I tip my hat to you.
I'm telling a story of borrowed coziness.
Comfort, loungewear, rainy day.
Exactly. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully you didn't OD on your feeds on these looks and we're enjoying hauling the fashions along with us.
And until next time, stay niche.
Stay niche. Bye.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.